Now we're going to have our scripture reading, which is found in 1 John 3, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 to 2.
I didn't stipulate this time, and I'm just looking up and thinking which translation is being projected. Do you know? Okay, then I will turn to the New Living Translation, just so that I don't rely on my eyesight from this distance. So 1 John chapter 3, and it's the first two verses. "See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like him, for we will see him as he really is." May God bless us today as we consider this and what it is to be his. Getting nervous about my Bible. It's sort of so old and soft and floppy that if I put it the right way up, it's liable to kind of open up and spill its guts everywhere. But all the bookmarks and everything else. But let's see if it will stay. It's good to see you and be with you. Whatever your week has been, we have had the opportunity. Some of us anyway, I know that not everyone can make it, but some of us have had the opportunity of meeting online, and we've had our week of prayer, and this is the end of the week of prayer. And I would encourage you, even if you haven't had the opportunity so far, to look back at some of the readings, well, all of the readings. Our theme this week has been growing disciples. And it's really from that overall theme that I've picked the title for the sermon, Making Family, or Family Making. It says Making Family. Maybe that's what I did send through. But I've written on my notes, Family Making. I guess it works either way. So where did I get this from? Well, if you turn your Bibles open to where we had our scripture reading, to 1 John chapter 3, and I will be looking and gleaning a couple of comments from my New International Version. We read the New Living a bit earlier, but how great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Do you know what that word lavished means? How could you describe that word, lavished? Any dictionary makers here? How would you know if someone has lavished something on you? Made a big issue of it. Okay. It's given with love. Okay. Can I not just give you something, Peter, with love, and it's not lavished? What would be the difference? What's this lavishing about? For me, it's just like an abundant pouring out. It's gushing. It's not like you turn a tap on and it dribbles out as you fill up your glass. You turn the tap on it, it's absolutely pouring. That is how I believe John was meaning to turn our attention. How great the love the Father has lavished on us. Lavished. God loves you so much that he pours out absolutely gushingly his love on you. Whatever week you've had, whatever difficulties you've been facing, God pours out his love on you. That's how much he loves you. And did you pick up on in those two verses something else? Bearing in mind, making family or family making, whichever a title we want to go for. Is there a family reference in this verse, these verses? Did anyone? Children. We're God's children. And something else in this verse, as I read it, but we know that when, where is it? Verse 2, dear friends, now we are children of God. It's not a maybe one day we will become. He's filling out the adoption papers, and we're not yet. It's a here and now. Now we are children of God. So it's with that now we are children of God that I want to turn your thoughts hopefully in line with my ramblings. Because with this idea of growing disciples throughout this week and in our week of prayer, it struck me at one point that maybe we think of discipleship and growing disciples as a little bit, well, them. They are the people that we are making disciples. And it, maybe it doesn't strike anyone else in this way, but it just struck me that it was like, if I'm making disciples, that's very much, that's I'm here, they are there, we're still very separate, but we're kind of trying to align them to us. I don't know if I'm explaining my own thoughts and deliberations right with this, but it struck me, though, that we could think of this in a different way. Instead of disciple making, about them, it's still about them, but what if we were family making? Have you ever walked down the road and thought, I wonder if they're my brother? I wonder if they're my sister? Maybe you've got no reason to, because we tend to think of family as a very sort of genetic thing. We know who our mum or dad is, at least we think we do, and we know if we've got any siblings, if any at all. But have any of you seen a particular series of on telly called Long Lost Families? Yeah, I'm very sure that it's on series record on our device at home. My wife absolutely loves watching this program, and I must admit, I do get intrigued as to some of these life stories. And quite often, it's along the same kind of lines. Maybe a parent had to give up a child for whatever reason once upon a year ago. Or maybe it's that child that has learnt, maybe they've known all their lives, that they are adopted and they want to know. They're getting on in age and they're thinking, is this parent still alive? Can I find them? And thereby lies this whole sequence of a story of investigating and trying to find out people. There's another kind of variation of that. I just can't remember the name of the program now. It's about DNA, checking people's DNA and where they come from and so on. Also quite interesting. But this long-lost families. In looking around, in searching for where a parent is, or where a son or daughter is, you get all sorts of stories. And I do remember walking through our lounge and when one of these programs was on, and it kind of caught my attention a little bit, and then I sort of lingered and stayed and watched the whole story. And their story, this man's, I think it was a man's story, was that he discovered that he was adopted. And he was searching and trying to find out any kind of connections with families, but when you're doing it by yourself, then it's difficult to get too much information. A lot of this stuff is locked away, and you've got to use intermediaries and so on. So he wrote to the show, and then they were able to find things out for him. And invariably with these kind of shows, they get a kind of reunion thing happening. Now, I think in his case, his mother had since died. He was too late to find her. But they discovered that he had some brothers and sisters, quite a number of brothers and sisters. And when they all got together and they were discovering a little bit about each other, they suddenly realized, hang on a minute, and he realized, where you live, and where you live, and where you live, you're just up the road from me. And then in talking with one, I think it was one of his brother says, oh, I work in this particular shop. It's a grocery shop. And he said, really? You mean you work, and when did you work? And they worked out the years and dates and so on. And he said, that's just around the corner from where I live. And I used to go and buy things in that shop. It's quite possible that we walked past each other down the aisle as I was doing my grocery shopping, looking for things. And we didn't even know that we were brothers. Have you ever walked down the street or down a shop aisle and thought, I wonder if they are my brother or sister in Christ? Because if we think about disciple making, we're not just making someone into something else and then having nothing to do with them. We're bringing them to a knowledge of Jesus, and then we're able to say, and now you are my brother and sister. We are children of God. From now, it's not a later on, from now. I'm not meaning to imply that I watch a lot of television, but I want to turn your attention to another TV show, a show that was around end of the 80s, early 90s. And it was set in Liverpool. Is anyone working out what the show is? And it was a family. Of course, I'm talking about families. It was a family in Liverpool. Does anyone know what the title of the show would be? Come on, Martin. Bread, indeed. And it was the Boswell family, and it was all about how they would earn money. Well, and that was where the name of the show came from, money being bread. So it was all about how they got their money. And at the end of every show, they would have on this kitchen table there that they all sat round and had their conversations. They would have this pot, and they would all put their money into the pot at the end, of how they can look after each other and in the money goes. And why do I mention about bread? Well, there was a kind of a, not quite a catchphrase, but something that I remember. The older brother, why does his name suddenly go from, Billy was the younger one, Joey. Joey was the older brother, and he kind of kept his siblings in order. And there was one thing that he would repeat when there was a little bit of discord in the room. He would talk about, we pull together because we are family. We're family. Have you ever walked down the street and wondered, could they be my brother or sister? Have you ever thought, they could be my family? If I take you back to 1 John and chapter 3, I'm going to pick up on a few other verses and references there. 1 John chapter 3, just a little bit beyond the verses that we had for our scripture reading. In verse 18, it says these words, "Dear children," that's you and me, according to John a little bit earlier on, "Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth." You see, when we are family, just like the Boswell family, they don't just say, "Oh, well, we're family," and they don't do anything. They look out for each other. One particular scene, they're all sat around the table there, and Billy, the younger one, he talks about how he tried to make some money, some bread, and this particular scheme failed. And now he's skint. And soon as he says that word, skint, what do they all do? Everyone seems to bring out some money and give it to Billy. Why? Because they're family. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. We pull together because we are family, but we can keep searching for our lost family members. Maybe it's him, maybe it's her. Do they know about our Father in heaven? Might they be my family? In Luke chapter 15, we have three stories: the lost, the lost, the lost. What are we talking about? Lost coins, lost sheep, and lost sons. The lost, the lost, the lost. Now, without going into that chapter too much, what is the common thing that happens at the end of each story? They have a party. The thing is found, what was lost is found, and they have a party. When was the last time that you had a party for someone that was lost, that was your brother and sister, that is now part of your family? It's a challenge for us all. And I would love for us to be holding and throwing more parties, wouldn't you? So what might need to be part of your conversation with your potential family member? Well, still sticking in 1 John chapter 3, but just going back a couple of verses. Verse 16. And this is 1 John 3:16. I'm always amazed at we maybe know that John, that is the Gospel of John, 3:16 is a kind of a wow verse. But I'm amazed, and it wasn't written like this deliberately, but the vicar who ended up dividing the Bible up into different chapters and verses and so on, just for us to be able to find places easily, it's amazing how many books have chapter 3 and verse 16 as wow verses as well. I'll leave you to have a little thumb through your Bibles this Sabbath afternoon. But this is 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And how did John know this? Well, it's written in John 15 verse 13, the words of Jesus. Greater love has no one than this. Does anyone know how to finish off that phrase? Greater love has no one than this, than lay down his life for his friend. So it's words of Jesus. Jesus saying, I love you so much that I'm ready to lay down my life for you. Sticking in John 15, you may wish to turn over to John 15. Don't believe it just because the preacher says it. Follow along as well in your own Bibles. John chapter 15. We just read verse 13, but in verse 16, it says, "You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." Now, we are family. We are part of the family of God. And Jesus himself, God's solution to our sin problem, came to this earth to sort out that sin problem. He gave his life for us so that we could be family with him. We could be his children. And it means that therefore we might have siblings around us that are yet to be part of our family. So we know Jesus in order to share Jesus. Just turn another chapter or two on, staying in John chapter 17 and verse 15. It reads, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world." So this is Jesus talking with God the Father. "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one." As we become children of God, God doesn't take us out of this world. We're still subjected to all sorts of things that happen to us around us, impositions, heartache, and joy. But Jesus said, "I don't want you to take them out of these situations." Why? It's because through those situations, we have the opportunity to minister to our brothers and sisters. "I don't want you to take them out of the world. I want you to protect them in the world." And it's a theme that Paul picked up on as he wrote to the believers in Rome. If you look at Romans chapter 12, again, the first two verses, "Therefore I urge you, brothers," we can include sisters there, "in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Did you get that? There's a whole other sermon in there. I'm just skipping over it, really. But as we offer ourselves to God, because we are children of God, that is an act of worship. Everything about us in our lives. But verse 2, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." We were prayed for by Jesus, not that we get taken out of this world, but that he help us as our Heavenly Father. And Paul, again, with this idea, don't be in the world and then adopt the ways of the world, but be separate because you are children of God, not children of this world. Later on in Romans chapter 12, talking about what I've mentioned of our actions towards other people, verse 21 says, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." We are in this world, but we should not be of this world. We are in this world and we suffer all sorts of things. We are in this world and we still see glimpses of Jesus' love for us. and we can show and share that love to our brothers and sisters, even those who we don't yet know if they are our brothers and sisters yet. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, as a song. I just like that word lavish, though. That God's love, our Heavenly Father's love, pours out Himself on us. He loves us that much. Lavish the love of God on others, because one of them might be your long lost brother or sister. They might just be family. May God bless us all as we continue our search for brothers and sisters.